Chapter 3, The Nature of Opportunity. Have you ever had the experience of looking for something at a grocery market but not seeing it, then realizing that the packaging or location of the item has changed? Once you see what's changed, it's easy to find what you're after. It jumps right out at you. But before that, the change acts as a kind of camouflage. You couldn't find what you were searching for because you were looking for a particular color, design, or location, and it just wasn't there. Opportunity is like this. It's changing right now, which is making it harder to see in many domains. It's important to update our ideas of what it looks like and where it is. Once we have that update, opportunity pops into view. It becomes abundant. You start to see it everywhere. Another reason it's important to update your idea about the nature of opportunity is that the mind often misses seeing things it doesn't have patterns or models for. Something can be right in front of you, but if you don't know how to recognize it, then you can't see it. In this section, we're going to take a deep dive into the nature of opportunity and how it's going to change and evolve. In order to better understand the nature of opportunity, we'll want to review a series of predictions and models that I believe will become truer as we move into the future. Some of these ideas are grounded in patterns that I've observed in the past, and some are my creative calculations of what I believe will happen in the future. As you think through each of these concepts, the nature of opportunity will become clearer and make more sense to you. These patterns will give you the lenses you need to recognize more opportunity in your life. In the future, opportunity will increase exponentially. We can all feel our options increasing rapidly. We have more opportunities to try new foods, travel to new locations, learn new ideas, experiment with new exercise methods, have novel experiences, meet diverse people from different places and domains, start different types of businesses, engage in new hobbies and artistic interests, and contribute to others in general. Ray Kurzweil's Law of Accelerating Returns states that there is a double exponential increase in the rate of change. As knowledge and technology grow more sophisticated, building upon previous achievements, this curve continues to go parabolic. When new technology enters a domain, researchers, entrepreneurs, and artists start applying the technology to the area, and things often change rapidly. Technology is reaching into many domains of opportunity right now. Galileo, learning how to combine two glass lenses inside of one tube to make a telescope, is an example of how powerful the force of technological change can be. One convex lens to gather and magnify light, and one concave lens to focus it, allowed him to see 30 times further than the naked eye alone. This revealed not only that the moon has mountains and the sun has spots, but that Jupiter has moons going around it, just like the moon that goes around the Earth. I've read that Galileo even made and sold telescopes as a business. He recognized the opportunity on multiple levels and became a scientific entrepreneur. But look at what happened next. Galileo started asking others to look through his telescope to see the things that he was seeing. There was one group of people who had no interest at all, the Roman Catholic Church. Why would they be opposed to a new technology some guy was using to look up at the night sky? Because for at least 1,500 years, the religious story in the West was that the Earth was at the center of the universe, with hell below us and heaven above. Everything revolved around the Earth, and this proved that God put us here to be the rulers of this realm. Galileo showed up with a piece of heretical technology, which proved that something else was going on. If another planet had something orbiting around it, then maybe everything wasn't orbiting the Earth. Maybe we humans weren't at the center of the universe. The Pope definitely didn't want to look into the telescope because it would call into question the entire foundation and legitimacy of his power structure. And they were pretty serious about this stuff back then. Galileo was called in by the Inquisition in 1616 and threatened for his activities, and this is to put it mildly. But nothing could stop the new current of ideas and models that flowed from Galileo's telescope. A revolution in ideas and culture was sparked, and the fire could never be extinguished. The technology of the telescope changed everything. The point I'm making here is that when scientific and technological innovation enters a particular domain, it often triggers a series of cascading explosions of change. These changes echo through neighboring domains and through seemingly unrelated domains. The changes are predictable in some ways and completely unpredictable in others. Consider what happened after the gasoline-powered motor was united with the horse-drawn carriage. Now you get from one place to another faster, and you didn't have to feed and take care of a horse in order to do it. But this was just the beginning. Automobiles contributed to the massive increase in demand for gasoline, which drove the demand for oil. This led to the discovery of oil all around the world. In the Middle East, the discovery of oil under the sand led to a massive, sustained financial infusion into a culture that was not a major global influence previously. Again, we see how technological innovation had widespread and unpredictable effects. Because this type of radical innovation is happening in more places than ever before simultaneously, and because there are more people combining knowledge, methods, and designs and innovations from diverse domains, we are experiencing a spectacular explosion of possibility and opportunity. Old models are being disrupted more and more rapidly as we tear down the old to build the new. If you were interested in becoming a writer before the rise of the internet, you were limited to a few main narrow options. You would almost certainly have needed to write for some type of news, marketing, or publishing company, and this meant that you would have to conform to the rules of that organization. Now you can go online and start a blog, write articles for any number of websites, be a microblogger and tweet all day, write an ebook and publish it yourself, or become a copywriter, and you can do these things as an employee, a contractor, or as an entrepreneur working for yourself, or any combination of the above. If you are a writer, you have so many options right now, and I believe that we're still early in the process of transformation that's being fueled by technology in this domain. Now think about other industries and how technology is changing them. If you're a musician, you have dozens of ways to perform, share, and publish your music. Although overall music revenue is down, so you also have to get creative if you want to monetize your music into the future. If you're an artist, you can find a community of other artists around the world who share your style and interests and explore ways of expressing your vision. If you're an entrepreneur, you're looking at an explosion of new types of products, new ways of marketing them, new ways of reaching customers, and new ways of growing your business. Each of these new options represents a new form of opportunity. And because you can combine them, you are looking at something that has never existed before. So much opportunity that you could never begin to explore even a tiny fraction of it in your lifetime. Technological innovation and the spread of knowledge has been dramatically accelerated by the rise of the internet. Change is now reaching into every domain, and it will transform our lives as radically as the telescope and the automobile. Your domain, whatever it is, will be transformed. This is creating the biggest explosion in opportunity that humans have ever seen, and it's going to increase exponentially over the coming years. In the future, windows of opportunity will open faster and close faster. Potential has a shelf life. Margaret Atwood. The two founders of Uber were trying to find a cab one snowy night in 2008 while attending a conference in Paris. As they were standing in the cold, they had an insight. You should be able to push a button and have a car pull up and take you where you want to go. This spark of an idea was essential to the founding of Uber, but it wasn't enough. Other forces were at play as well. A year earlier, the iPhone had been released. For the first time, your mobile device knew where it was, and it could give you directions to anywhere you wanted to go. 4G wireless networks were also about to take over. The window of opportunity for ride-hailing apps opened right as Uber's founders had their insight, and the rest is history. This intersection of one idea and multiple enabling innovations is what I mean by a window of opportunity. More and more of these windows are opening up as we move toward the future. Why? Because faster change, combined with more people and groups innovating, creates more and more new innovations and ideas in more domains. This leads to more possible intersections and more windows of opportunity. It's a virtuous cycle. More innovation leads to more opportunity, which leads to more new innovations. And because of the accelerating rate of change, these windows of opportunities are opening faster and faster. But because more people are now able to actualize these opportunities using the internet and other technologies, the shelf life of opportunities is also becoming shorter. The windows not only open faster, they also close faster, because people quickly seize available opportunities and run with them. The increasing competition for ideas and its consequences on relative laggards can be seen in the general trend of how long companies and industries survive. I read a story about a researcher named Richard Foster who calculated that in 1958, a company in the S&P 500 could expect to stay on the list for 61 years. Guess how many years they can expect to stay on the list today? 18. These days, delay is suicide when it comes to seizing an idea. What if the founders of Uber had waited a few years to launch their idea? Garrett Camp and Travis Kalanick are brilliant entrepreneurs, but if they had started 3 years later, their company would probably have had 1% of the success that Uber enjoys today. In addition, there's another factor that causes windows of opportunity to close faster. You have increasing opportunities available to you. If you're looking at a good opportunity today, but you decide to sleep on it and come back in a month, it's likely that in that time, you will have several other newer opportunities to consider. These new opportunities take your attention from the first potential opportunity, which, in effect, cause that window to close for you. It's a kind of opportunity noise that you have to manage. If you're single and looking for a date, the one you pass on today is less likely to be there tomorrow. If you're thinking of starting a business, the idea is less likely to be viable later. If you're thinking of making an investment, the market is going to change. All this means that in the future, great ideas will have a shorter shelf life. We don't have time to wait around and maybe take action someday. Now you need to test it out in the real world immediately because the window is not going to stay open for very long. In the future, we'll have relatively more smaller opportunities and relatively few larger opportunities. Even though opportunity is increasing exponentially and becoming far more diverse, you'll also notice that most of these opportunities are smaller and fewer are larger blockbuster opportunities. With the exponential increase in the rate of change and the multiplication of opportunity, I like to imagine that the opportunity distribution curve compresses more and more into a power law curve, yielding mostly smaller opportunities and fewer larger opportunities. If I have a room with 100 people in it, and I measure how tall they are and put it on a chart, you'll see a normal bell curve, with most of the heights bunched around the average height and a few distributed out at the edges. If I have a room with 100 internet companies in it, things are very different. Leaders in each area tend to win a huge share of the market, leaving a few to compete for what's left over. In a power law dynamic, the leader will be 10 times as big as the next biggest competitor, with number three typically trailing number two by a big margin as well. Google has 80% of the search market, and Microsoft, Bing, has 8%. Facebook is 10 times the size of Twitter. Amazon is so much bigger than its competitors that it's hard to even decide whom to consider for number two. This is one of the paradoxes of opportunity. Once an innovation emerges, an entrepreneur or business typically steps in and works to popularize the innovation by offering a product or service for sale. If successful, a product or brand can take over the market and become the avatar for an entire category. Google is now a verb synonymous with search. Facebook and the idea of social media are often used interchangeably. This dynamic can lead to massive success for the leader, who comes up with the blockbuster. But for the rest of the pack, the opportunity, while sometimes still good, is relatively smaller. If you owned the 10th most valuable social network or search engine, you'd still be doing just fine. But becoming number one is getting harder. This reality of there being more small opportunities and fewer large opportunities is wonderful if you're satisfied with having lots of small wins. But it's also potentially distracting and confusing if you're interested in finding the biggest opportunities for yourself. The seemingly endless supply of smaller opportunities can become noise through which the signal of a blockbuster can be lost. This is another reason why opportunity literacy becomes more and more important in the future. If you know how to discover and create bigger opportunities, you can leverage your time, attention, and other resources to create much bigger success. As you move into the future, it's very important that you recognize those opportunities most likely to have bigger payoffs in your life and business, and not get distracted by shiny objects that grab your attention, but that aren't as valuable. Pay attention and watch for those rare, unique, big opportunities that are a perfect match for your personality, passions, knowledge, and purpose in life. When you discover one that is a real potential blockbuster, bet more heavily, and invest more attention. These are where the big payoffs are for each of us. I have used examples like Google and Facebook in order to bring the concept into relief and to make it easier to see in the real world. But each of us has our own chance to carve out a niche or category in our lives or businesses where we can be a leader. We'll cover this more in depth later, but for now, it's important to remember to think big and to find a place where the opportunities are right for our unique personalities and gifts. And again, we're not interested in opportunism here. The study of opportunity benefits us most when we take a holistic perspective. We aren't interested in becoming greedy or chasing outward success for its own sake. Instead, we're interested in creating a successful life in all domains: physical, relational, mental, spiritual, all domains. And this means looking for big opportunities to improve our health, our relationships, our self-development, our spiritual lives, and much more. In the future, the value of things will change faster and faster. Economists use the term liquidity when describing a market where you can buy or sell something without causing a big change to the price. If you are selling stock in a liquid market, that means so many other people are buying and selling the same stock that your order doesn't really have an effect on its price. Liquidity is typically thought of as a good thing, and speculators and traders rationalize their efforts to profit from markets as being beneficial to everyone because their actions are, quote, creating liquidity, unquote. As different kinds of markets connect to each other, this creates a sort of meta-liquidity where you can exchange one form of value for another through a chain of transactions in different marketplaces. I can use PayPal to send US dollars to a friend in England who will receive pounds sterling, who can deposit those pounds in their bank account, then wire them to a cryptocurrency exchange and trade them for Bitcoin, and then send those Bitcoins to a company who's doing a launch to purchase shares in the business. And this can all happen inside of a few hours. If you zoom out a bit, you can see how this cross-domain value exchange has much wider implications. I can borrow money from a credit card and use it to hire a designer in another country who can design a digital skin for a particular type of gun in an online video game, which I can then take and upload to a digital asset exchange platform and sell for fiat or cryptocurrency, which I can then transfer to my bank account and send back to my credit card company to pay for the original loan. Again, this can all happen relatively quickly if I am successful in my little entrepreneurial venture. Because value is moving at faster and faster velocities through and across more diverse systems, accelerated by impossibly fast computer networks, the value of many things is changing more and more rapidly. In the past, change in general happened much slower, and so one could rely on the value of something being more or less stable over longer periods of time. Yes, there were occasional booms and busts. More on that later. But if you lived 1,000 years ago and you had some gold or silver, the local blacksmith would probably charge you the same amount of it to put a new shoe on your horse tomorrow or a year from now. Now, if you have gold, it might be worth 10% more or less next month. And if there is a big change in another market, the price of gold could half or double. The stock market is famous for being unpredictable and having swings of volatility through its various cycles. This reputation was formed back in the day when stock markets were mostly isolated from each other. Now, with stock markets all connected directly and indirectly, a change in one market can trigger a domino effect that quickly spreads through other markets. There are more things that now amplify this effect of changing prices and values. The quickening in rising and falling values is spreading to other domains as well. I have been fascinated while watching how quickly billionaires are created in new markets and how this process is accelerating. It seems that in the old days, a self-made billionaire like Andrew Carnegie or John Rockefeller would take decades to make their billions. Bill Gates took 12 years to do it. Jeff Bezos did it in under 5 years. Mark Zuckerberg did it by the age of 23. Founders of cryptocurrencies are sometimes doing it in a year or two. This pattern is going to continue as new forms of value emerge and new entrepreneurs enter these domains to innovate. I predict that we'll see our first self-made billionaire go from zero to billionaire in under a month within 10 years. At that point, we might have to redefine billionaire because there will likely be some new form of currency that we'll be using to measure the value of things, and who knows what those individual units will be, and whether the idea of billionaire will make sense anymore. To clarify, when I say that the value of things changes faster and faster, I am saying that, on average, the relative value of various things like currencies, securities, assets, and intellectual property will change faster and faster over time. You may not notice it day to day in your life, but if you pay attention over time, you'll see that this is happening. And the time will come, relatively soon, I predict, where the value of something that you thought was stable changes dramatically in a short period of time. The changes in value that we're seeing are in part due to meta-liquidity or cross-domain value exchange, but another contributing factor is that new forms of property, assets, and value are being created at an increasing rate. We now have digital property and assets, along with intellectual property, securities, bonds, options, and other derivatives, cryptocurrencies, with more coming over the horizon. As each new type of asset class emerges, it creates a migration, or a stampede, into the new form of value. This activates cycles of boom and bust, and often inflates massive bubbles that then pop along the way. In the 1600s, the Dutch went crazy for tulip bulbs. At the height of the bubble, some people were paying the equivalent of 10 years' worth of income for one bulb. The value of tulip bulbs was fueled by fashion, manipulation, and greed. Smaller versions of this happen across new and exciting markets everywhere when new discoveries are made or trends emerge. Over the past several years, I have become fascinated with the art market. Individual paintings now regularly sell for over $100 million US. Several have now sold between $250 million and $450 million. I remember watching a documentary about the band Metallica maybe 10 years ago. In the movie, Lars Ulrich was selling a bunch of paintings from his art collection. He had several paintings by the American painter Jean-Michel Basquiat, some of which he was putting up for auction. Back then, nicer examples of Basquiat's work were selling for maybe $5 million to $10 million. I remember looking at the pieces and thinking to myself, are you serious? In 2012, a Basquiat painting sold for $20 million. Then in 2013, another one sold for close to $50 million. In 2017, someone paid $110 million for one. Each time I've seen these prices, I've thought to myself, I wonder if Lars Ulrich is bummed out that he sold his paintings for only a few million each. But that's nothing compared to the cryptocurrency craze. New currencies are launching regularly that hit billion-dollar market caps instantly. And the swings in cryptocurrency prices make the art and stock market look like safe havens by comparison. The emergence of the blockchain also holds a promise for the future, that all forms of value can be tokenized, then sold and traded freely in always-on global markets. Imagine being able to buy a fractional ownership in a piece of real estate or an art piece the way we buy fractional ownership in companies by purchasing stock. This will welcome yet another exponential increase in the speed of value exchange, and also, I predict, in the velocity of overall change in the value and price of things. Every time value changes, a window of opportunity opens or closes in some way for someone, and the acceleration of value changes accelerates opportunities and combinations of opportunities. We're going to need models and tools to deal with the acceleration in the change in values and the exponential increase in opportunity that's coming. We will come back to this later in much greater detail, but the most important thing to remember is that opportunity is changing and it's accelerating, so that you won't be surprised as it continues to increase over time. In the future, opportunity will increasingly come from unexpected places. If you look across your life, you'll see that many things that happened were just serendipitous. You were accidentally in the right place at the right time. I went to the Burning Man Festival 9 years ago for the first time with some friends on a whim. People had been talking about it, and I finally said, okay, I'm going. So I went, and I had an amazing time. The next year, I decided to do a talk and share some of my most radical ideas. A woman walked into the middle of that talk, sat down, and watched the rest of it. Then she and her friends came up at the end and started talking to me. She and I followed up via email, and within several months, we fell in love. Now we have a daughter and a family. That opportunity came from a very unexpected place. The last thing I expected was that I would meet my future wife in a dusty tent at Burning Man. Increasingly, opportunity is going to come from unexpected places. And if we're not expecting the unexpected, we may not recognize huge opportunities when they present themselves. Maybe someone pops up and says, "Hey, do you want to go to this foreign country and go on this tour?" Normally you might say, "No, it really doesn't sound like my thing." But if you know that opportunity is going to come from unexpected places and it's important to explore novel domains, you might say, "You know, it's been a while since I've done something outside the box. Let's go check it out." When I say opportunity will increasingly come from unexpected places, I don't just mean in terms of novel geography or life experiences. I also mean that opportunity will come more and more from unexpected combinations. In systems theory, there is a phenomenon called an emergent property. Emergence is what happens when many elements operating at one level create a property on a higher level. A good example is an ant colony. If you take one ant away from its colony and put it in a field alone, it will die. But if you take a million ants that together weigh a few pounds in total, who have all grown up together as part of one unified family, something interesting happens. The group begins to demonstrate abilities that appear to come from a higher mind, a unified planning and decision-making process. The colony can architect a complex nest, placing the eggs where they're warmest. The group mind can find food, fight off enemies, and even make decisions about where to move next. And this all appears to happen with a few simple communication tools and a handful of chemical signals that ants send back and forth. The ant colony demonstrates the qualities of an emergent property because it has order on a higher level. The sum of its parts adds up to something entirely new and unexpected. A cell is an emergent property relative to the molecules that make it up. A molecule is an emergent property relative to the atoms that compose it. A body is an emergent property relative to the organs that constitute it. A family is an emergent property relative to its members. To me, the greatest opportunities are emergent properties. They come from taking what is currently available and then combining these elements in new ways to create something on a higher order, the way subatomic particles self-organize into stable atoms, bees organize into a hive, or fish self-organize into giant schools, swimming as one entity. A mobile phone was an emergent phenomenon that combined electronics, plastic, buttons, displays, transmitting and receiving circuits, an antenna, and much more. Individually, none of these components was groundbreaking, but put together, they allowed you to do something revolutionary, make a call from anywhere. The iPhone was an emergent phenomenon that combined a mobile phone, a video camera, a music player, an operating system, applications, an internet connection, a touchscreen, and much more. The emergent property was an incredible new device that you could use to shoot videos, check email, go online, play music, buy things, etc. Uber was an emergent phenomenon that combined a smartphone, GPS navigation, 4G wireless networks, drivers who owned cars, the internet, and much more. Note how the iPhone used the mobile phone as one of its components, the way a cell uses molecules as components, and combined it with many other elements to create something on a higher order, an emergent property like being able to shoot, edit, and upload a video to the internet in real time. And note how Uber used the iPhone as one of its components in a similar fashion, combining it with several other diverse innovations to create something on a higher order. Emergent properties build one on top of the other. The most unexpected direction in which to look for opportunity is up. Look up to the higher order innovation or entity that you could create. When you look up at a higher order or for a possible new emergent property, everything changes. What's interesting about emergence is that it's always a surprise. The behavior of a cell can never be deduced by looking at a molecule. The behavior of an ant colony can never be deduced by looking at an ant. This is, to me, what makes emergence so mysterious and cool. Of course, with the acceleration of technological and cultural innovation, there will be many other types of surprises. As the old saying goes, expect the unexpected. When you have an eye open watching for what you don't expect, it's easier to see it when it happens. And when you're watching the horizon for emergent innovations and emergent opportunities, you will be looking where almost no one else is. In the future, creativity will become more and more important to opportunity. The study of creativity is the study of using your mind to connect and combine things in new ways, and then to use those insights to create in the world. Creativity is largely a game of training your mind to connect things you learn in one domain to situations that seem unrelated. The physicist Richard Feynman was famously trying to work out the spin of electrons around atoms when he walked into the cafeteria and saw someone throw a plate up in the air. He saw how the plate wobbled as it spun around, and it fascinated him. This activated his curiosity, so he tried to figure out the math of how this worked, and in the process discovered the solution to how electrons went around atoms. Bill Bowerman, a track and field coach from my home state of Oregon, was looking for ways to make running shoes that worked on different types of surfaces. As the story goes, he was in the kitchen with his wife making breakfast and noticed the pattern that the waffle iron made in the waffles and connected this up with his search for a better sole for his shoes. He went and got some rubber mix, put it into the waffle iron, and the Nike Waffle Trainer was born, along with one of the biggest companies in the world. Steve Jobs famously wandered into a calligraphy class when he was in college and learned how to create beautiful, proportionally spaced letters. Later, when he worked with his designers on the Macintosh, they created an all-new type system inspired by Jobs' early exposure to elegant typography. If the past was about doing things a little better than others in order to succeed, the future is about looking at what everyone else is doing and finding something innovative to do instead. I believe that in the future, copying everyone else is not going to lead to health, success, happiness, love, meaning, purpose, and fulfillment. If you want to live an epic life, then it's going to take creativity. Again, creativity is usually about taking something you learn in one place and using it in other places, or combining several of these things together to create novel innovations that create a lot of value. This isn't a mysterious gift of the universe, some eureka moment that comes out of nowhere. This is a skill that you can consciously develop. One of the ways to practice creativity is to take any two things and ask yourself, how can I connect them? You can notice what the objects have in common, or you can imagine a third object that could relate them to each other. If you're looking at a car and a tree, you can imagine ways that they could be connected. Maybe the car has wood paneling inside, or you might notice that the wheels on the car are round, just as the tree trunk is round. Or maybe the car is green and the leaves of the tree are green. Or maybe they're both on the earth. Get as creative as you can. Or better yet, practice connecting really diverse things. Look over and say, okay, now I see my recording device, and then I also see a candle. What connects these two things? Maybe the candle makes light, and there are lights on my recording device. When you make connections like this, the more diverse the better, you start connecting up all of the knowledge in your mind and finding new analogies. These types of exercises train the mind to look at things in new ways so it becomes automatic and habitual. I practice creativities like this one constantly. I find that they make a big difference and develop my ability to spot new possibilities that others miss. It's very powerful. My wife Annie and I were discussing this book recently, and she said, "Opportunity is what you bring to reality, not what reality brings to you. You're responsible for the amount of opportunity in your life." This really captures the importance of taking a creative approach to life and to opportunity. It makes all the difference. Reminder, get a summary of this entire book, plus written implementation exercises for every chapter, additional bonus sections, and access to a free class to help you discover your best opportunities by visiting opportunitybonus.com. Okay, so take out this exercise right here, The Nature of Opportunity. Quick summary. Here are six ways that I believe opportunity will evolve and develop into the future. In the future, opportunity increases exponentially. In the future, windows of opportunity will open faster. In the future, windows of opportunity will open faster and close faster. In the future, we'll have relatively more smaller opportunities and relatively fewer larger opportunities. In the future, the value of things will change faster and faster. In the future, opportunity will come from increasingly unexpected places. In the future, creativity will become more and more important to opportunity. Remember these patterns as the future unfolds. They will help you keep pace with the acceleration of change and the acceleration of opportunity in your business and your life. And so now answer these three questions. Which of these patterns have you already seen in your life? How will these patterns change your domain of work and business in the future? How can you anticipate these changes and turn them into an opportunity? Okay, so do that exercise. to really identify how you already do this and how you can take some of these changes and turn them into something positive and valuable for yourself and others.